Their third argument, use of the term Son of Allah. The third argument, for the Messiah, peace be upon him, being God, or the Son of God, is the expression Son of Allah that has been mentioned in divine revelation with respect to Christ. The Christians say that the one who is the Son of Allah will necessarily be one in being with his Father. The rebuttal. It is really very clear from the phrases given below that the expression Son or Son of Allah, as used in the Torah, the Gospels, and their supplements, connotes a rather broad range of meanings. If you wish to see the phrases containing Son, take note of the Jews are the sons of Jerusalem in Matthew chapter 23, verse 37. The Jews are the children of Jerusalem in Luke chapter 19, verse 44. The people are the sons of the resurrection, in Luke chapter 20, verse 36. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 5. Ye are of your father, the devil. John chapter 8, verse 44. The son of perdition. John chapter 17, verse 12. And the Jews are the sons of serpents. Matthew chapter 23, verse 33. Given the manner in which the word Son has been applied at these places with a specific meaning and context, why isn't the expression Son of Allah understood in the same manner? Now I will document those phrases in which the specific expression Son of Allah has been applied in a vast, yes, indeed a tremendously vast, context within the Holy Scriptures. Number 1. Adam, peace be upon him, the Son of God. Luke chapter 3, verse 38. Number 2. Seth, peace be upon him, the Son of God. Genesis chapter 6, verse 2. Number 3. Israel, peace be upon him, the Son of God. Exodus chapter 4, verse 22. Number 4. Ephraim, the firstborn of God. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 9 and 20. For him the bowels of God were troubled. Number 5, David, peace be upon him, the elder son of God. Psalms chapter 89, verses 26 and 27. Number 6, Solomon, peace be upon him, the son of God. 1 Chronicles chapter 22, verses 9 and 10, and chapter 28, verse 6. Number 7, judges and those who issue religious edicts, the sons of God. Psalms chapter 82, verse 6. Number 8, all the children of Israel, the sons of God, Romans chapter 9 verse 4 and Deuteronomy chapters 14 verse 1 and 32 verse 19. Number 9, all the disciples, the sons of God, taken from 1 John chapter 3 verse 2. Number 10, all Christians, indeed all believers, the sons of God, taken from 1 John chapter 3 verse 9. Number 11, all orphans, the sons of God, Psalms chapter 68, verse 5. Number 12, all distinguished and ordinary people, the sons of God, Matthew chapter 6, verse 6 and 18, chapter 7, verse 11, and Genesis chapter 6, verse 4. Number 13, nobles, the sons of God, Genesis chapter 6, verse 2. Number 14, rebellious children, Isaiah chapter 30, verse 1. In all these places, the expression Son of Allah has been spoken in regard to righteous and virtuous people, or regarding those for whom there are few means of training in the world, or regarding the noble and princely, or regarding all people, and in every one of these places, all the sons of Allah are simply the mere creations of God. Not a single one of them is an embodiment of God. All are mere mortals and the progeny of mortals. Not one from among them is God. Footnote. However, yes, in the commentary on Job chapter 1 verse 6 and chapter 2 verse 1, a British commentator Thomas Scott has written that the prophets of Allah, meaning the sons of God who are mentioned therein, refer to holy angels. Also at another place in Job chapter 38 verse 7, the reference to prophets of Allah, meaning the sons of God, in the view of commentators, means prophets. This humble one has written this footnote for the sake of Sayyid Ghulab Shah, for I had written in Fasl al-Khitab that all prophets and angels are sons of God on account of Job chapter 1 verse 6, chapter 2 verse 1, and chapter 38 verse 7. written by Nuruddin. End footnote. Accordingly, on account of these phrases and expressions, if Christ the Son of Allah is also a mere mortal and not God, then what word or phrase obliges us to understand Son of Allah to mean the embodiment of God when it comes to the case of Christ? Yet, when the same phrase Son of Allah is applied to others, we take it to simply mean a human being or the son of a human being. No Son of Allah expression is unequivocally proven to signify an embodiment of God, whereas Christ being the son of a mortal is proven from the following expressions. Jesus Christ, the Son of David, the Son of Abraham. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. Christ is the Son of Man. Matthew chapter 8, verse 20. He is the Son of Adam, a man. Matthew chapter 9, verse 6. Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, Behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. Matthew chapter 11, verse 19. Is not this the carpenter's son? Matthew chapter 13, verse 55. And it is established from the Gospels that Christ was the Son of Man, and likewise the Christians do not deny that Christ was the Son of Man, but they simultaneously claim this as well, that this Son of Man was in reality that very God. When he entered his physical body, that very individual was called the Son of Allah. From this much detail, it has at least become clear that to refer to Christ as Son of Allah, the literal meaning of Son is not meant, because in that case, it becomes necessary that Christ should issue forth from the sperm of God, and that Mary the ever-truthful become the wife of God. Otherwise, these meanings are incorrect and blatantly wrong. Neither the Muslims nor the Christians believe Mary to be the wife of God. Indeed, no intelligent person would consider such a thing to be permissible, and thus, the literal meaning of Son of Allah and its universally accepted meaning would not be intended. On the contrary, the meaning of this expression, the Son of Allah, would be something else and beyond the universally accepted literal meaning. Mark chapter 15, verse 39, records that Christ was the Son of Allah, and in place of this verse, in Luke chapter 23, verse 47, records that Christ was eminent and virtuous and righteous. That is to say, instead of Son of Allah, calls him eminent. Thus, I claim that wherever Christ referred to himself as the Son of Allah, there he meant it in the sense of eminence and not in the sense of the embodiment of God. What argument exists on account of which we are obliged to concede that by Christ the Son of Allah is meant and the embodiment of God? Quite the contrary, what does the phrase Son of Allah have to do with righteousness and divinity? It is not even necessary to apply the meaning of an ordinary believer for the reason that even evildoers are the sons of God, as mentioned in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 1. In short, it is not proven that Christ was the embodiment of God through the phrase Son of Allah. For further clarification, I advise pondering over the following verses. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that, when he shall appear, we shall be like him. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. And in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, it is said, And everyone that loveth is born of God. And in 1 John chapter 3, verse 9, there is, Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. To Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, found in Titus chapter 1, verse 4, that the sons of God saw their daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose, in Genesis chapter 6, verse 2. Ponder over these prominent verses. Do any of them have the slightest indication that Son of Allah gives the meaning of the embodiment of God? No, not at all.